Okay, I'm going to direct you to the coasttocoastam.com website. Take a look at the material that Jonathan Gray sent us, because we're going to have him comment on that when we come back, and we'll also take phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Jonathan, before we go to phone calls here, let's go to some of the material that you sent us. That's up on our coasttocoastam.com website. This one photo here. Tell us about this carved stone in Peru that looks like dinosaurs were on it.
Oh, yes, that's a very interesting one. This actually is one of several thousands that have been found. And the man who found them was a farmer. He found them in caves, in graves, and he started telling his friends about them. And the archaeologists came along and said, let's have a look. This man handed over some of them, and they had on them some very interesting pictures. Now, these were 2,000 or 3,000 years old. But one of the carvings showed men fighting with dinosaurs. Another one showed men performing operations with surgical equipment, men with telescopes. And I think the picture that you have there is one showing dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. Now, these were drawn by people in the past who knew what these things looked like. And they numbered several thousands. Now, however, eventually, the BBC heard of this discovery, and they did a documentary about these strange stones, and that's what raised the controversy. Pressure was put on government officials, and the villager who had been selling the stones was arrested. Now, how this all happened would do credit to any corrupt politician. The Peruvian government now threatened to prosecute and imprison the farmer, but they offered him a plea bargain. And the frightened man accepted. And then he recanted his story and admitted that he had carved all of the stones himself, 11,000 of them. Uneducated and unskilled as he was, he'd carved out the whole lot. Now, let's understand this. They're very intricately carved with animals and scenes that the farmer could never have knowledge of. And here's a poor man who needed to work hard all day to earn a daily living to support his children and family. Yet despite that, he would have needed to spend every day for several decades and do nothing else to do these 11,000 pictures. The problem was the difficult evidence of human coexistence with dinosaurs and the ancient technological knowledge. How convenient that he admitted he had done them all himself, so no one would ever suspect or discover that these were genuine.
Next up, you've got the skeletons from New Zealand.
Well, in New Zealand over here, there's a lot of controversy over some finds that are being made of a race that was here before the Maoris. The Maoris, of course, are traditionally in the schools being taught as the original inhabitants of New Zealand. But up in the Waipua Forest, just a few hours from where I live, 2,000 ancient structures have been found and lots of skeletons. Now, skeletons like these are found right across the country, actually. When it was announced that these had been found, a certain New Zealand government department produced an official document which showed an intention to withhold this archaeological information from the public for the next 75 years, and then it could be made available. And neither the general public nor bona fide research workers were allowed to view the results of the digs until the year 2063. It was to be kept top secret for national security reasons. Well, I'm wondering what's national security about ancient remains.
Absolutely. Strange. And what do you think the size is of these skeletons?
The skeletons are rather large, something like 8 or 9 feet.
Giants.
Yeah. But the technology, rather not the technology, the culture that is evident from the diggings shows they have Celtic connections. In other words, there must have been migration or travel or communication between one side of the world and the other way, way back.
And then you've got some kind of a vase or something?
Oh, yes. That is a very interesting one. That's in Israel. It's an ivory pomegranate, actually, from Solomon's Temple. It's been on show for a while in the Israeli Museum as the only artifact from Solomon's temple. Now, there's been a lot of skullduggery going on about this. In 2004, the item was declared a fake. Then four men were arrested who had something to do with the handing over. It actually was sold originally for $550,000 to the museum. Put on display, it was called a sensational discovery, the only known object from the first temple built by King Solomon in Jerusalem, 1000 BC. And then 2004, it was declared a fake. Four men were put on trial, and it was declared that the inscriptions on it had been put on falsely to increase its value. 3 years later, a scientist by the name of Robert Dusch from Tel Aviv announced that he was going to examine it because he believed that it may not be a forgery after all. Now, leading paleographers from the Hebrew University and from Tel Aviv University were forbidden by the museum authorities to look at it. They were excluded from the group that declared it a forgery. So Robert Dusch kept pushing this, and he said, I want to check it. They refused him. It was only after his lawyer appealed to the museum's director that he was allowed to visit the museum and examine the pomegranate. But the museum told him that he could not be allowed to use their microscope and not even have a table to put it on, which meant that he couldn't examine it. Eventually, they had their arms twisted and they gave him a table, but they wouldn't give him a chair to sit down on so he could examine it properly. Eventually, he was able to use he bought his own microscope because he knew they wouldn't allow him theirs. He spent an hour and a half checking it, and he found that the letters had been engraved and that they dated from the time of King Solomon. That they had been engraved before the ivory was cracked. So the crack was not there first, and the writing was not put on after, so it was not a forgery. Now, I guess we can only speculate on the motives of trying to cover this up, but I can think of three reasons. One is a threat to peace. There are some members of the Jewish government, including some archaeologists, who feel that this discovery would undermine Israel's history in the Holy Land, that if Israel's history could be confirmed, this would enhance the prospects of peace. There's another reason, I believe, it's a non-religious, anti-Bible bias in the community there. Anything to do with King Solomon is cried down. In fact, there are archaeologists who say King Solomon never existed. Well, we've got enough evidence now that he did. But it's interesting that today what was declared a fake has now been declared genuine, authentic. And the people who could have declared it authentic in the beginning were banned from coming to see it, and others were brought in to declare it a fake. It's interesting.
It sure is. Let's go to get some calls. You ready?
Yep.
We'll go to our first-time caller driving around on the road somewhere in Arkansas. It's James. James, go ahead. You're on.
Hey. Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi.
I have two things to tell you about. I've been wanting to tell a long time. Is that I know a couple of friends that were in Santa Cruz, California, and they're digging in the basement for a dentist to put an add-on in solid rock, and they're using pickaxes. And they come upon a glass bottle embedded in solid rock, and this is about 8 feet deep. And they were young. They took their time. They got the glass bottle out of the rock and looked at it, and they had hieroglyphics on it, but the top was broken off. They showed it to the owner, and he took it away from them, unfortunately. So that's the end of that story as to whatever happened to that from there. And then the other thing I wanted to mention was I knew an older couple years and years ago that were really good friends of my parents. They were stationed at Roswell Air Base during the 50s and 40s. And they did tell my parents, they swore to them, honest to gosh, that the spaceship crash was real. She was secretary to the commandant at Roswell Air Force Base, and he was in one of the squadrons, that flew the B-52s, I believe it was. And just from there, they swore to them that there were dead bodies and there was an actual spaceship crash, but they were told by the government years ago, you know, never to mention anything.
Another cover-up, Ron. Thanks. Did we ever come across any ancient artifacts that look like extraterrestrial craft, Jonathan? Anything out there?
Well, ancient records do state that there were UFO-shaped aircraft manufactured in India, for example. So the shape is something that has been consistent with human history in the past as well. But it's interesting that the historical records of the ancient nations don't say anything about extraterrestrials. They always speak about the human element. But over in South America, there have been found some ancient aircraft, yes, and they are in existence. I have a friend living in Canada, a scientist, who's been into that area. He wants to go back. In fact, he wants me to go with him. And there's an aircraft in the eastern Andes area toward the Brazilian jungle that has been sitting there for the last several thousand years. It definitely was a flying craft.
Okay, let's go now to Ron in Ypsilanti on the wildcard line. Hey, Ron, go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Jonathan.
How are you?
Hello. How you doing?
Yeah, pretty good.
Good. He's in Australia. A little lag, but not bad. Go ahead, Ron.
Okay. I was calling about the updates for the Ark of the Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
I get emails from Jonathan all the time, and I wanted to know if he had any updates on that. Also, the caves in the Grand Canyon, I don't know if you talked about those.
No, we haven't gotten into that yet. But what about the Ark of the Covenant, Jonathan?
The Ark of the Covenant actually was announced on Israeli television some time back. It had been found under the streets of Jerusalem. Then a clamp was put on the news. The government gave an announcement, testing the waters, and the next day there was a bloodbath. I think 11 people died in a fight between Jews and Arabs. Yes, I do believe that the artifact has been found. It's not in Ethiopia, it's not in Ireland, it's not in Arabia, not over in Jordan. It is under the streets of Jerusalem.
Okay, and what about caves? Caves in this country, caves anywhere? Did you study that?
Oh, yeah, caves. Are we talking about caves in the Grand Canyon?
Yes.
Yes. Way back in the 1800s, a gentleman from the Smithsonian and a team of men discovered a cave high up in the higher reach of the Grand Canyon. There were mummified remains there. There were hieroglyphics. There were various artifacts. This was reported in the local newspaper at the time he came into town. The Smithsonian sent some people across later. Some of the things were taken away and never seen again. There have been similar reports in more recent years of explorers finding a cave, but the cave is now sealed, and that whole area is under surveillance. It's not open to the public.
All right, next up we go to Bruce in Indiana, Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Bruce.
Yes, I was wondering if you could make a correlation between the pharaohs of ancient Egypt, pre-Christian ancient Egypt, that had traces of nicotine and cocaine in their bodily tissues, which is indigenous to this hemisphere, not theirs, along with the tomato seeds that were found in the grave in China.
Yes, that is correct. There's no question about that now. And also strains of cotton have been found in the Americas that are identical to those in the Middle East.
Hmm. Thank you.
All right. Simple enough. Albuquerque, New Mexico, west of the Rockies. Alex, you're on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Alex.
Hi. I have kind of a two-part question. It's a little bit complicated, but I'll do my best to be clear.
Sure thing.
Since people could possibly have traveled into space, could they have maybe been able to travel between dimensions or parallel universes? The second part is, if they could travel between dimensions or parallel universes, is it possible that instead of a great disaster, maybe the past humans permanently relocated to one of these other dimensions and became what today we see as aliens?
Well, that's a very interesting theory, and of course, there are a lot of possibilities that we don't know a lot about. We do have written records, and the biblical stories, of course, do tell us that there were a host of rebellious heavenly beings who hijacked this planet. They were cast out, they hijacked this planet, and they started the trouble here, and that they have ability to interact with mankind all the time from one dimension into another. That's written in our history, and also in the history of most of the ancient races. I lean toward that more or less because of the consistent written record. We can, out of our own minds, think up all sorts of other theories, which there's nothing wrong with that. I love theorizing. But as an archaeologist, I have to stick where the facts lead me to go, and that would be the ancient records.
Okay, any follow-up there, Alex?
No, I think that's great. Thank you very much.
Okay, super. What other archaeologists are out there, Jonathan, you know, that support what you do, that are trying to get these answers? Anybody else out there?
Yes, there are some. I don't know of too many, unfortunately, George, but yes, I know there's a couple in Australia. There's another one or two in America. There are several in Europe. But the majority toe the line because their salaries depend upon it, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's true, too. That's true, too. Are you glad you took this path?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm glad that I don't depend upon for my income upon somebody who wants me to say what they want to say. By being totally independent financially, and I'm not saying that I'm well off, I'm simply saying that I support myself and my work, and this means I don't have to answer to anybody but the truth.
Well, good for you. Perhaps you'll get the big hit that you've been looking for all your life.
Thank you.
What's the one question you would like answered that's never been answered yet?
Oh, you put me on the spot, George. I'm speechless on that one.
You?
To give an honest answer, I'd need to think that one through.
Okay, that's fair enough. Your books, Dead Men's Secrets, The Weapons, The Globalist Fear, still available?
Yes. The Dead Men's Secrets deals with more than 1,000 examples of lost technology. It's brought it down to about 1,000, just over 1,000 out of many thousands that we could use, but these are the ones that can be confirmed. The Weapon, The Globalist Fear, speaks of the oldest document in the world, and it happens to be the biblical book of Genesis, and how it and the globalist dreams clash head-on, and who's going to win and why.
Okay, stay with us, Jonathan. We're going to come right back and take final phone calls with you. Where? On Coast to Coast AM. Okay, we're going to take final phone calls with Jonathan Gray on our next Coast to Coast show, Friday into Saturday. We're going to be talking about that old TV show, Dark Shadows, and then Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Jonathan Gray, and your phone calls. Jonathan, by the way, great job tonight. Just superb information.
Oh, it's my pleasure to speak with you, George. I hope everyone else is having a good time.
Everybody is. Back to the phones we go. West Milford in New Jersey, it's Travis's turn. Hey, Travis, go ahead.
Hi, George and John.
Hi.
This has been one of the best shows.
The caller from Albuquerque stole a little bit of the thunder I was going to bring to the show. His theory is similar to the one that I just had the idea while listening to everything tonight on the show. Okay, I wanted your opinions on it. It's sort of similar to his, but it has some differences. Maybe we came here from an alternate dimension that overlaps this one, and perhaps whatever Atlantis may have been a way station of sorts, and a disaster may have occurred. Who knows where that could have been? Perhaps we were creating a tangent universe by jumping from dimension to dimension, and they had to either bail or stay, and whoever stayed, I mean, that's what became what we know of as the early civilizations. And also, the pyramid is, there are chambers in it that there's speculation it's used to channel certain energy, or I don't know if you've heard something like that, but maybe they were trying to get back home. Maybe that's what the pyramids are set up for, these mapping systems. Maybe it's a way in the tunnels in the earth to channel energy and maybe transport the people here back to the other dimension where they came from.
Hmm. What about that theory, Jonathan?
Well, it's an interesting theory. I personally don't go along with it, simply because I believe the ancient records were clearer to the truth than we, living thousands of years later, are. But let's talk about the pyramid for a moment. Pyramid does have energy. That's very true. In fact, planes are forbidden to fly over the Great Pyramid for that reason.
I did not know that.
And the pyramid shape itself does accumulate energy. I set up one in my back garden a few years ago, one about 10 feet high, and put butter in it and put parsley in it and so on. The parsley, by the way, was looking pretty limp in the fridge. Put it into the pyramid for a couple of days and it was spurting it up as though it was brand new, growing fresh. So there is energy collected by the pyramid shape, and the ancients used to put pyramids and standing stones at the junctions of natural energy lines under the earth. Like we have water lines, the underground water, we have underground energy. Our earth is like a spinning dynamo, and they used to collect this energy and disperse it around. It was very good for generating electricity, for energizing plants that were growing in the vicinity. So there's certainly energy involved in the pyramid shape, no question about that.
First time caller.
I would not go so far to say that takes us from one dimension into another or helps us get off this planet, but it does have its own right in, as far as an electrical generating power goes.
Let's go to our first time caller, John at Springfield, Illinois. Hi, John. Go ahead.
George, a pleasure and an honor. I've been a Coast to Coast fan since 1995.
Perfect.
And quick question for your guest, and then maybe a statement. I might be able to get some feedback from him. Has he ever heard, I heard on a former show of yours, a gentleman that said that a rock had been discovered in New Mexico, and on it the Ten Commandments were written in ancient Hebrew, and it basically was dated pre-Columbus area.
The late Clark.
I've heard of that, yes. I believe it was genuine.
Okay, I thought that was true. And a statement I'll share, I'll get off the air and maybe a little feedback. The prophet of the Mormon Church, Brigham Young, stated that Adam and Eve and all life on this planet were brought here from parents stuck on other worlds, and I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Adam and Eve, what do you think of that? You know, the old Anunnaki theory was, of course, they genetically altered us. Do you believe in the Adam and Eve theory?
Oh, I believe in the biblical version of Adam and Eve, which was held by all the ancient races. It's only in modern times we're sort of deviating with our wonderfully fertile imaginations into so many other theories, which are all very interesting.
What is it about Sitchin's theory that you can't, take?
Well, first of all, Sitchin does appeal to the Bible as an authority.
Sure.
Yet the Bible contradicts his theory. How come?
I don't know. Let's go.
What the book of Genesis does say is that man was created as a deliberate first cause artifact on this planet. He didn't have any other home before he came here. But this planet was specially fashioned. Everything was put in its right position, climate, distance from the sun, the food supply, everything was made just perfect for mankind. And man was put on this planet to reproduce and enjoy it.
What I find...
Now, the theory that we came from another planet doesn't help us too much, because you've got to account for life on that first planet. You've got to keep on doing that until you come to a first cause. And I believe if we go straight to the first cause already written, that there was a creator and there is a creator, we were created intelligent from the start, it answers all the archaeological mysteries that we have. All the mysteries fall into place.
What I find fascinating, Jonathan, is they talk about a collision that Earth had with another heavenly body based on what he said were the Sumerian texts. And now modern science is talking about Earth collided and, chipped off part of the moon, colliding with another body. Too similar, don't you think?
Well, Well, yes, there are similarities for sure. But, you know, theories come and theories go. They're always changing.
Let's go now to Larry in Canada. Hey, Larry, go ahead.
Hi, John. How are you tonight?
Yeah, pretty good. Thanks, Larry.
I'm very good. I just heard what you said, and I appreciate your belief system. I believe the same thing. A couple quick questions. You said early in the show that that aliens or somebody from outer space came and had sex with or procreated with the human race. Now, Genesis 4 talks about the children of God came down and they saw that earthly women were beautiful and had children with them. Is that something like what you were saying? Or?
No. Actually, the book of Genesis, it's interesting. In any old book or any new book, if you want to understand what it's really saying, you must always take the context. Does that make sense?
It does to me.
Put everything in its context. Just don't take one statement and say, it might mean this. Now, if you go back a couple of chapters in Genesis, you'll find that there were two lines of human beings. One remained true to their creator, as they were taught by their original father, Adam. The other became a murderer. He killed his first brother, the line of Cain, and his people who descended from him became robbers and murderers and scoundrels. And they said, we're going the way of man. We're going to become sons and daughters of man. We don't have anything to do with our creator. The other group says, we're going to call ourselves sons and daughters of God. And they remained faithful for a time. But later, as time went on, there was intermarriage between the two groups, and that's what it's talking about. The context of Genesis gives us the understanding. But you can take a thought out of one text, and you can make it into anything. And that's how some of these theories do come about.
Let's go next to Stephen in Bentonville, Arkansas, home of Walmart. Hey, Stephen, go ahead.
Yes, Jonathan, I'm very proud that you're doing a very good show tonight.
Sure is, isn't it?
And it's very, very interesting, and all the things that you're saying hold pretty true in my book. My main question tonight is, it's not so much about the caves that are in the United States and around the world in different parts, but mostly the ones that I've been reading about, ones that run basically under the entire United States, and that the aliens use them for flight. They can fly within these tunnels that were created by the military at one point, and also probably by the aliens. So is there a good grounds on that for a belief system that there may be people being held there because of what was signed in 1933 by the president, that they could use people for abduction and research for in exchange for technology?
Very interesting subject, and you're largely on the right track there. I'll just define the word aliens. The people from the other dimension, the rebels who hijacked this planet, if you call those the aliens, I'm 100% with you, because they're interacting with humans and they possess people who are in control of many projects.
Let's go to east of the Rockies, Leon, West Virginia. You're up with us. Hey, Bill.
Yeah, hello, George.
Hi.
I've been listening for a couple months. Love the show.
Great.
And I'm just enthralled by what you all are talking about. I have two questions. The first one, I'm a descendant of Celtic peoples, and I wondered what you know, Mr. Gray, of the ancient Celtic cultures and the technologies they may have had. And the second question is what you know of the Appalachian Mountain region of North America and any of the archaeological finds that exist here.
I'll answer the second question first. I'm not so familiar with specifically the Appalachian Mountain region or anything found there. My research is more on global patterns, and this is where we come back to the Celts. Yes, there certainly was technology among them. We don't know a lot about it, but I can say with a fair amount of certainty that the Celts shared in common with all other cultures the similar type of technology because it was dispersed globally.
Tell me the story about cavemen wearing modern clothes. This is interesting.
Well, we're not told much about this, but it is true that on many of the ancient caves, the caves that we talk about for cavemen, we're told that they were primitive, that they went around with grunts and couldn't speak a language, and they just dragged the women around by the hair and so on. Well, now that's absolutely nonsense. That's as true as the Jolly Green Giant. It's a sacred cow, however, of the popular theory that cavemen were primitive. But do you know, ancient engravings from a cave at Lissac in France show them to be modern-looking people, wearing pants suits, believe it or not, belts, boots, coats, hats, and using handbags. That's the women. And the men with clipped beards and moustaches. Now, how embarrassing for the popular dogma. And I might ask, is that why the public are officially banned from going into that cave? Is this information too dangerous?
It's amazing. Okay, time for a couple more calls, and that's it. Bobby is in Yuba City. First-time caller in California. Hey, Bobby, go ahead.
Hi. This subject is so interesting. I'm amazed. I've never heard anything about it. First of all, I'd like to know where the books can be found, libraries, hopefully, or otherwise. And also, since we're in cycles, what is the cycle that is going to be in front of us now? Not behind us, but in front of us.
What kind of cycles? Jonathan, do you look at that at all?
Yes, I've studied the idea of cycles. I'm not convinced about cycles. I can only be convinced that we have had in the past a destruction. We've also had a high technology. As far as evidence goes back, we can go back one cycle. The rest we can only theorize. But cycles is a fairly modern idea of explaining where we are right now. We are back now to a high technology, so you could call that a cycle. We are facing the possibility of destruction if we don't mend our ways, and that would be a repetition of something. But I have yet to be sold on any evidence that there is anywhere that there were previous events identical. We do know that it has happened before, and it has happened on small scales all over the world, but as for global, I have evidence of only one. And as an archaeologist, I do go for evidence. So if I sound a bit negative about that, it's only because I always insist on evidence. And that's why my work can never be overthrown. I insist on evidence always. When people don't bring out evidence, that's when I get a little bit upset with them. Now, as for where the books can be obtained, beforeus.com is my main website, beforeus.com. And Dead Men's Secrets is available there either as an ebook or as a solid book. There are four ordering options.
And what's your next work? I know you don't stop. Something's coming up.
Well, my next work is probably to go out to the island of Rotuma, north of Fiji. My wife comes from there, and when her grandmother was being buried, they dug up a bone of a 12-foot person. Her mother actually
stood
with the shin bone up to her waist, almost, above her waist.
I've seen some internet pictures. Are they myths? Are they hoaxes? Are they real?
Oh, the ones coming out of Greece at the moment, allegedly out of Greece, are hoaxes, but there are some genuine ones. The hoaxes are being put up by technology on the internet simply to discredit the genuine ones because there are people who don't want the genuine to get out. So there's plenty of hoaxes going around.
Okay, and I want to thank you, Jonathan, for being on the program. Just a remarkable work. And do you think one day the public will become so aware of this, not from programs like this, not from people like you, but from actual other researchers who say, we found this and we want you to know about it. Will they ever come forward?
I hope so. And I believe that some will come forward. There will always be independent researchers who will confirm the truth.
I hope so, too. At what cost for them?
Sometimes at the cost of their lives, but brave men, there are plenty of them are still around. They just have to stand up and be counted.
What time is it for you now, down under?
The time now is almost 9 in the evening.
9 in the evening. Well, it's 2 a.m. in the morning here in the West Coast of the United States.
Well, I'm coming out tomorrow for you, George, because it's 9 o'clock Friday evening.
You're time traveling.
That's right.
Tell me what happened Friday evening, and I can, well, I guess we can't do that, can we? Jonathan, thanks for being on the program. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.